Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Arkansas River Infrastructure Task Force has worked over the past 18 months to develop a plan that would rehabilitate the Zinc Lake low water dam, as well as build new low water dams in Sand Springs, South Tulsa Jenks, and Bixby, based on the results of a 2005 feasibility study. Well, this month, the task force released a draft proposal to construct low water dams costing approximately $263 million, a $30 million operation and maintenance endowment, as well as $4 million for rehabilitating the West Tulsa levee system. Altogether, the proposal would cost approximately $298 million, which would be funded by half of the expiring Vision 2025 sales tax. That's about 0.3 cents, beginning in 2017 and running for 11 years. Additionally, this would be a tax only on Tulsa, Sand Springs, Jenks, Bixby, and the unincorporated parts of the county near the river. Throughout this month, there have been a series of public meetings to solicit public comment with an eye towards presenting this to voters this fall. Well, as the meetings have taken place, opposition has emerged. Last week on Studio Tulsa, we spoke to City Councilor G.T. Bynum, the chair of the task force and a proponent of this initiative. Today, my guest is Bill Leidy, the executive director of the Smart Growth Tulsa Coalition, who's written about his emerging opposition to the proposal on their website, smartgrowthtulsa.com. He joins us today to discuss his reasons for his growing opposition to the proposal as it exists today. Bill Leidy, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm glad to be here.
A couple of weeks ago, we had G.T. Bynum on discussing the draft proposal from the Arkansas River Infrastructure Task Force, which is calling for 4 low water dams along the Arkansas River and a rehabilitation of Zinc Lake. And since that time, you've been attending some of the public meetings, and your group, Tulsa Smart Growth Coalition, while not coming out formally in opposition, is beginning to express reservations and perhaps some opposition to the draft proposal in its current form. What is informing that opposition?
Well, first of all, let me, if I may correct you, it says Smart Growth Tulsa Coalition. And, you know, our concerns are really essentially into two different areas. Number one is the economic benefits. And the fact that we don't believe at this point the task force had presented enough of a real argument there to justify this kind of investment. And the other concern is the environmental implications of building these 4 dams. So between those two, there's just more questions than answers. And so that is why we have expressed our reservations. Some people have encouraged us to come out and take an official position on that, and we probably are going to be doing that pretty soon. And really, it will boil down to the proposal as it exists today for an all-or-nothing proposal. We would be against that officially. So
you talk about economic arguments on the approximately $300 million that would be needed to spend. Do you feel like the greater community won't get the benefit of that $300 million? It will be wasted? We won't see the bang for the buck? What exactly?
Yes. we just don't believe that, like I said, there's been enough evidence presented. And with this kind of investment, what we, and I'm talking about our coalition, has been encouraging the city on matters that for capital spending, that everything should line up with our comprehensive plan that was adopted in 2010, popularly known as the Planet Tulsa process. So when you begin a conversation about how to spend money, we should always begin that by seeing if our spending proposals are consistent with or supportive of the comprehensive
plan. How does the Planet Tulsa plan address river development?
Well, it's interesting you would ask that question. Of 300 pages in the comprehensive plan, there is exactly one reference to low water dams, and that is in referring to an NCOG document about the Arkansas River Corridor Master Plan. There are several other articles in the comprehensive plan that talk about river development, but it's more about bank stabilization and safety improvements and beautification and those things, not so much about the low water dams.
Now, that's a City of Tulsa comprehensive plan, and generally NCOG has taken the lead on the Arkansas River proposal because it involves, as this draft proposal does, more than one municipality. It involves Sand Springs, it involves Jenks, and Bixby. Do you think that's why it wasn't mentioned? Or, I mean, somebody can make a case that that's why it really wasn't mentioned in the City of Tulsa Comprehensive Plan.
Well, I served on the Tulsa Metropolitan Area Planning Commission for 5 years. During the adoption and the development of our comprehensive plan. And I remember that I asked the consultants who helped the Fregonesi and Associates, and they gave regular updates to the Planning Commission on their progress in helping put together this draft proposal for what has since been adopted. And in the initial draft, there was not one single reference to the Arkansas River, zero. These were not things that were discussed in the workshops, the forums, the meetings, the town halls that took place during the Planet Tulsa process. It just wasn't on somebody's mind, most people in Tulsa. And as you well know, the city and the surrounding communities have voted against improvements in the Arkansas River for many, many years. So, you know, our question is, and please understand, I don't disrespect the work that's been done by the task force. I believe they're well-meaning. They're genuinely nice people who are trying to do what they think is right. But the whole idea of it, to me, is a flawed process. They came with a perception or a presumption that this is what Tulsans want. And, you know, that is just in spite of the fact that they have consistently said that what they don't want commercial development along the Arkansas River. So, you know, the very beginning of the process, and I say that presumption because it's almost as if it's a foregone conclusion that this is going to happen, and you're going to vote on this whether you like it or not. And
well, no, I have to admit that, you know, you often hear people talk about we need to have water in the river. We need to have water in the river, the idea of a sort of lake-like situation along river parks and various locations along the river. I mean, you have to admit, you've probably heard that many, many times as well.
Millions of times.
Exactly.
You know, but here, this is, if we can do anything else during this show, is to dispel the myth that these new infrastructure projects are going to put any water in the river. They're not. They're not going to put water.
They're not going to put any more water in the river. They're going to manage how the water goes through.
The water in the river that flows through Tulsa comes out of releases at Keystone Dam, which was built in 1964. And those releases, as most people know, happen in the middle of the night to support power generation for Manford and a couple of other communities by the Southwest Power Administration. So the level of flow that comes through Tulsa happens at night when nobody's out. You can't see it. But a lot of people, including some very well-educated, knowledgeable friends of mine, still don't understand that this proposal for these four dams, it's not going to be a bank full river from Sand Springs to Bixby. Now, Councilor Bynum has been very careful most recently to point that out, but people still, when they think of water in the river, they aren't thinking about three new small lakes and an expanded zinc lake. They're thinking water in the river, water right. in the river, and that would be from Sand Springs. That's not happening.
In fact, environmentally, it wouldn't be approved if that were the case because this is a prairie river. You have least turn habitat, among other things, which is a federally protected species. You have to have habitat for that, and they need fluctuating water flows, sandbars to do their nesting and the like. And I know that the proposal actually calls for some least turn mitigation factors to make sure that happens. So that's off the table anyway because of the nature of it being a prairie river.
Exactly. And like I say, I don't pretend to have expertise in the environmental implications of this, but I have been with a number of groups and in a number of meetings where professionals, engineers, hydrologists, people who do know about these things can speak to it. And I assure you there are some very serious concerns in regard to the environmental implications of the four dam proposal. But getting back to this presumption that this is a done deal, by dividing the town hall meetings into two different stages, one for the river and one for everything else, the Tulsa newspaper reporter said that when announcing new town hall meetings to discuss the rest of the package, the other 0.3% that would go towards quality of life improvements, and he referred to that as the unaccounted for portion of Vision 2025, as if this is a done deal, as if there's, you know, it's all or nothing and take it or leave it. And what happens if this thing fails? Number one of the most concerning things about this, and I think, frankly, with all due respect, a very irresponsible thing is to ask the citizens of Tulsa to risk passage of an improvement package for the Zinc Dam that would complement the $350 million privately funded park, a gathering place, by forcing them to vote for these other things in these other communities. It's just, it's really not right. That if the task force listens and if they do anything in the next few weeks, they need to unbundle the package, give Tulsans a chance to vote for their dam, and then take everything else. If they want to put it in one piece, fine. But I think it's probably safe, in my view, to assume that it will have not very good chance of passing if you take that out, because Tulsans want to see their zinc dam rebuilt. It's unsafe, and it is just worn out.
Now, when you talk to proponents, they will say, even if you did unbundle them, you would still need the Sand Springs Dam because that's where the water is going to be held to come into the lake.
Rich, did the Zinc Lake hold water? The Zinc Lake, for the first 25 years, held water year-round. Even in the most dry conditions, we had water in Zinc Lake before it started failing and the gates started leaking. So we know we don't have to have, and we did not have, the Sand Springs Dam for the biggest part of the share of...
That's not necessarily true, because there was a low water dam at Sand Springs. For many years, it was deemed unsafe and torn out.
I don't think it substantially contributed to the water levels in Zinc Lake. Maybe it helped a little bit. But the thing is, I asked Councillor Bynum at one of the town hall meetings, because the schedule for this is the Zinc Dam first, South Tulsa Dam next, and then the Sand Springs and Bigsby Dam coming along about the same time, starting about the same time, one finishing before the other, because it's a
the Bigsby is a Bigsby is larger span.
Well, it is a larger span, but I think the Sand Springs Dam is higher, and it's going to be a longer. It's going to take longer to build that.
There'll be a bigger lake.
But anyway, my question to Councillor Bynum, the chair of the task force, was, will these lakes hold water? And his answer was yes. So would it be nice to have a Sand Springs Dam that would create kind of a steady flow of releases? Yeah, it probably would. And, you know, I don't think it's entirely impossible that the feds might not come along at some point in time. The money has already been approved through the Water Resource Act of 2007, $50 million of federal funds that have never been appropriated. So a couple of years ago, Senator Inhofe was quoted as saying, don't give up on that money. It's not a dead deal. And so, you know, yeah, it would be kind of nice to have that. But to ask Tulsans to pay for that, the benefit just doesn't outweigh the cost. $70-some million that, and, you know, Tulsans are going to pay 90% of the cost of that dam. So it doesn't make sense.
That's been one of your big issues in your blog posts, is the idea that Tulsa provides a majority, a vast majority, as you mentioned, of the sales tax funds for infrastructure improvements that would benefit Sand Springs, Jinx, and Bigsby. But hasn't that been the approach in some of our more recent things like Vision 2025, where there was something for everybody, but Tulsa benefited a lot greater? What's your response to that?
Well, Vision 2025, Owosso and Broken Arrow, two of the larger suburban communities, were involved in that, and so we got the funds from that. But it just really, like I said, we love our neighboring communities. We do. And they're our friends, and they're our neighbors. But they are also our competitors. And so when we complain about the loss of our sales tax revenue to the growing retail businesses in these suburban communities, why would we want to provide new infrastructure that Tulsans are going to pay for that are going to create enormous new economic development opportunities for new development, new retail in those communities? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Now, one of the things I keep hearing about these four dams, the site at Sand Springs, there's a site at Zinc, which would be rehabilitated and made safer and constructed better. The South Tulsa Jinx site, that also benefits Tulsa. Isn't Tulsa on one bank of the river?
Who does it benefit?
South Tulsans.
Who? I mean, the most affluent neighborhoods in Tulsa that need public investment the least. The South Tulsa Dam, everything on the west side that it'll be impounded is in Jinx. And so we'll get no benefit from that.
The Creek Casino will benefit from
well,
it.
That's fine. Where are they in this, as a matter of fact? Where is the Creek Nation? A couple of years ago, they were all in on this thing, and right now there's not a mention anywhere in any of the information that has been provided by the Arkansas River Infrastructure Task Force about them partnering and paying for part of this. So, back to my point is, the totality of the new shoreline for the citizens of Tulsa for this four-dam $300 million proposal is about 2.5 miles on the east side of the Arkansas River that is going to require an enormous amount of new infrastructure, streets, sidewalks, lighting, sanitary and storm sewers, right-of-way maintenance that is not really there. Now, maybe you might get developers to pay for a little part of that, but the South Tulsa Dam cost is just the beginning. And who does it really benefit? As I say, does it benefit the broader community? Tulsans have said they don't want to see a lot of commercial development along the river. Well, what kind of development is going to go down there? It's going to be very high-end housing that 95% of the people in Tulsa won't be able to afford, and big box stores with acres of surface parking that does not create the kind of walkable urban style of community that the comprehensive plan says that we're looking for.
You said you haven't come out formally in opposition, but it sounds like you're getting there.
Well, we haven't put it in writing yet, but yeah, we're against the proposal as it presently exists.
Well, one of the things I've heard a lot of folks talk about, and I think your group has mentioned it too, is this is $300 million. This is a big decision. It's going to take 10 to 12 years of sales tax to pay off. What would you consider to be greater priorities than this Arkansas River proposal?
Well, one of the things that I suggested, and, you know, this should have taken place a long time ago, not at the last hour where we are now. The Vision 2 proposal was a turn in the way Tulsans had really seen themselves growing. It was not a well-received plan because it wasn't really a combined Citizens of Tulsa initiative that had a lot of public input. It was primarily a chamber-inspired plan, and it was put together, and it had the corporate welfare, so-called corporate welfare aspect with a closing fund, airport improvements for what was then a soon-to-be bankrupt airline. And so it went down in flames. Unfortunately, it tarnished the Vision brand. And, you know, we always compare ourselves in that respect to public improvements through the MAPS program in Oklahoma City. So it tarnished that. But so after that, the Tulsa City Council, we had said all along, we shouldn't be considering that Vision 2 thing before the renewal of the Fix Our Streets. So they did start in earnest, the city council, on the Improve Our Tulsa, and I wrote about it, and other people have said that it was one of the most fully transparent, well-vetted public tax initiatives in the history of the city, and it was great, and we were all going in the right direction. But immediately after that, we should have been starting a new series of town hall meetings and trying to get some feedback from citizens on what they want. There has not been a clamoring for four dams, three new. There has not been. I mean, we've voted it down over and over again. So this is a group of people, and if you want to call it a pet project, I don't have any problem with that. They see it as, boy, this is a great opportunity, whereas I don't see that. I see investing in our neighborhoods and investing in a transportation system. You know, one of the things that has been talked about here is creating a place or an environment that is attractive to the millennials and the creative class to come into the city so that we can have a workforce that helps us recruit new businesses who need those that kind of talent. Well, I don't believe that waterfront development is something that is high on the list of millennials. It's not higher up there. What these young people are looking for are mobility options, cycling infrastructure, sidewalks, and a transit system that, where they can get where they need to go. And so those are the places that I think we need. You start by building an intermodal passenger hub or transit hub in downtown Tulsa. Everything in the way of expanding our transit system should begin there and build out from there. So that talks about finding a suitable location for a transit hub, and most people, including Mr. Crowley, who developed the downtown master plan, talked about repurposing what is now the Jazz Hall of Fame. And we're not suggesting to kick them out because I think we could coexist with them, but using that as the hub for the rail part of it. So once we get our rail connection with Oklahoma City and the nation's rail network, that would be a thing, connecting buses, connecting intercity and intra-city bus systems, streetcars, trolleys, everything that would have to do with transit, bike share program, where you could bring the train in or get off the bus and go rent a bike and do your shopping and the things that you need to do in downtown Tulsa. So those are some of the things. But instead of that, we divided this process into two different things. And, well, the river, we should have been asking citizens what they think and what they want instead of telling them this is what you need. And that's really essentially what I think this is. We're telling people you need this. This is something been talked about for 50 years. Well, my answer to that is, you know, if we haven't approved it in 50 years, maybe you ought to get the idea that, you know, this might not be the best idea. This might not be what Tulsans are looking for. And I don't think, honestly, it is. I don't think it has much chance to pass. In spite of, you know, myself or our coalition, there is a growing amount of resistance to this plan. The more people learn about it, I think
Now, you've been attending the public meetings. What's been how would you assess the response to
the
public meetings?
Well, that's interesting because the mainstream media hasn't really presented it as the way I see it. And there's been an enormous amount of opposition and questions, and it's all been a respectful dialogue. But I think that the questions, in my view, they haven't really been answered. And like I said, the economic arguments of it. So, you know, they've been promised. Councillor Bynum said, well, we'll have some economic impact studies before the election. Well, like a week before or 30 days before? How long? And you know what? Any economic impact study that would measure the benefits versus the cost of this would only be valid and useful if they were compared to a similar $300 million investment in other things, like transit, for instance. Cities across the United States are building public transportation systems. It's one of the keys to economic success for cities globally. People recognize that. And we have really done a very poor job. We have a very underperforming and, we get the
underfunded.
Underfunded. And so that is the place that we really need to start with our implementation of our comprehensive plan.
Now, you mentioned the comprehensive plan. I know there were some demonstration ideas that were a part of that comprehensive plan. Has anything moved forward on
that? Have you seen anything? No, I haven't seen one prototype project built, and that's the other thing. But, you know, we have neighborhoods. One of the things that I think the millennials are looking for, they're looking for funky, walkable, urban mixed-use neighborhoods where they can live and work and play and get to where they want to go closely. So we have all these great inner-city neighborhoods that are awaiting public investment for revitalization. You know, you have the Pearl District, for instance. There are two projects in East and West Pearl the building of some flood control with some new ponds. That's one of the last things that's never been addressed with our flood control projects that we did back in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, that's one. You got Gunboat Park actually had a small area plan that was done by the University of Tulsa Urban Design School several years back that would be ideally suited for revitalization, and if they could get a little bit of help in some providing some new infrastructure, Crutchfield, Riverview, the Brady Heights area. You know, there's just a number of those. Kendall Whittier Main Street, Route 66 Main Street. All of these neighborhoods are screaming and crying out for some public support and help so that they can reinvent their neighborhoods and they can attract the millennials and the young people and, you know, seniors who are looking to downsize and want a walkable community.
Now, I have to admit, some of that is happening on its own through private investment, too. I mean, you're starting to see urban pioneers in a lot of those neighborhoods you mentioned, which who are slowly but surely transforming those neighborhoods. Some people would say that's the way to go.
Well, you know, you're saying exactly what I'm trying to say. In other words, the idea of let's let somebody else pay for it has been a problem around this town for a long time. And in this case, I think the Sand Springs Dam, let's let somebody else pay for that. There's just not enough benefits, and there's not enough demonstrated benefits by the task force to convince me or most of the people I know that we need that dam to have water in Zinc Lake. And even if people would support the South Tulsa Dam, we don't really have to have that $70 million project to have water in those two lakes. So I don't think that we can rely on the private sector to do everything for us. And one of the things that's been talked about here is that two announcements, $750 million worth of investment because of water basically in Zinc Lake, you know, the gathering place. Councilor Bynum says, well, that's no accident that they're doing that with the expectation that the water will be there. But that's not sales tax driven kind of thing. We're not getting any money out of that. Look at the Zinc Lake, for instance. How long has it been there? 30 mm-hmm. years, whatever. How much economic development has that generated? How much redevelopment? We have one restaurant. We have one restaurant to show for all the time that we've had water impounded in the Zinc Lake.
Of course, you have the River Park system, which the jogging trails are an enormous non-economic benefit to the city.
That's exactly my point. If all of this is about generating new economic activity and increasing the sales tax base that helps pay for city services, Zinc Lake has just been a non-producer. It just has. So what gives people the idea that just because we're going to build the South Tulsa Dam that automatically, I look at it as a disparity. Are we going to really invest in things that are going to help the entire community, or are we just going to do things that are going to benefit speculative real estate developers?
Well, let me stop you very quickly. Just one quick last question. Do you expect the draft proposal as it exists today to go forward and go before voters?
I sure hope not, and I hope Councilor Bynum is paying attention. I think he needs to unbundle this thing and bring this Tulsa Dam out of it. Whatever else they want to do, I think, you know, that's up to them. But I think it was a bad idea to include that Zinc Lake rebuild in this package.
Bill Leidy, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks so much.
Bill Leidy is the executive director of the Smart Growth Tulsa Coalition. He's opposed to the Arkansas River Infrastructure Task Force $298 million draft proposal to build low water dams on the Arkansas. You can learn more about his group at smartgrowthtulsa.com. By the way, we spoke with City Councilor G.T. Bynum, chair of the task force and a proponent of the plan, last week. You can hear that at studiotulsa.org. Or if you want to hear about the proposal for yourself, there are two more public meetings, Monday at 6 o'clock at the Jewish Federation of Tulsa and Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the OU Tulsa Learning Center. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.